Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive.
If you don't manage your marriage, you will lose it. If you don't manage your health, you will lose it. If you don't manage your money, you will lose it. This is the principles of God's Word. If you don't manage your family, you will lose it. If you don't manage those employees, you will lose employees. Good ones will walk off from you. How do you think God is going to give you anything greater? It's all about management.
In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today.
Thank you for continuing to join us for Revive Radio. We pray this recent sermon series has been a blessing to you. Let's continue in this sermon series. This is Leading in a Crisis, Part 3. Let's go into the message with Pastor Rogers today.
When God gives us stuff to manage, He wants us to increase, add value to it and increase the value simply because we came into the situation. Let me say it like this. I told Rita this afternoon, we've been married for 36 years, isn't that right? I hope you're telling, she's not telling me nothing. She's leaving me out here, hanging out here to dry. I think it's 36 years. I probably will get in trouble immediately after this service is over with. Whatever it was, some odd years, I just want you to know that if I didn't add value into her life, then what good am I being there? If all I am is draining the energy from her life and just not adding anything to it, I'm not praying for her, I'm not increasing her. Listen, I want her to be able to be her best. So you know what? I work hard so she can wear that stuff she wears and smell good like she does, all that kind of stuff, because I want to add value to her life. Same thing with me. And when you do that, it's reciprocating. It's coming back to you. Prayer, hear this, write it down. Prayer will not get more resources if you don't manage the resources you have. Somebody talking about, oh, I'm praying about it. Ooh, I'm going to ask God for it. If you're not taking care of what you've got right now, prayer won't get you there. Because why? Because God is not wasteful. When He multiplied all those fish and loaves and passed them out, and here they are, they're passing them out, and everybody, the Bible says, gets full. Then what happens? God Himself says, what's left? Pick up everything that's out there. Pick up all the leftovers and bring it to me. And they picked up 12 basketfuls of leftovers. Come on, somebody. I'm just going to tell you, if you know anything about cooking whatsoever, you got somebody that cooks good in your house. If they do it right, the leftovers are generally better than the first overs. He took everything that were fragments and brought them again. And I don't believe it was an accident that He picked up 12 basketfuls, because He sent all the disciples who had just blessed everybody else out there with a basketful for them in their house. That's what management does. What will you do with what you have? Well, in this time, this is not the time to be running out buying new cars and opening up. I'm not going to get online and start buying a bunch of stuff. You need to understand that this is a time to conserve. This is a time to save. This is a time to sacrifice. This is a time to be very careful about what you purchase. That was practical. Write this down. It's not on your paper. The greatest protection against disappointment in your life is the expectation of a change that's going to happen. Some of you may be feeling depressed tonight because of all that's going on, and you may be listening to the news too much. But hear what I'm about to tell you. Change is coming. And guess who's in charge of the change? God Almighty. And you know what He says? I'm going to make it better than it was before. And here's the closing line that He says, and you can keep the change. That's exactly what you want to happen in your life. Man, that's a good place for somebody to shout right there. All right. So the most important approach to dealing with change is to expect it. This season is not going to last forever. When is it going to stop? I don't know. But I'm going to be a good manager between now and the time that this thing is over and after that, because I'm trusting in the principles of God's Word. Here's a few things that's not on your paper. When what you are doing is no longer effective, it's a season of change. When the people around you begin to become an irritation instead of a blessing, it's time for a change. When all your efforts seem to be causing more stress on you than fulfillment, time for a change. When the winter comes and everything cooperates with it, Don't fight the winter. Adapt to it, because at some point it's going to change. When the season changes and suddenly the things that were against you begin to work for you, people against you now become support and help. Ladies and gentlemen, keep the change. Tradition is the greatest enemy of change. Here's the term. I've heard it one time. I've heard it 100. Well, we've never done it like that. Well, guess what? I understand that completely. And the older you get, the more you have to fight against the things that you get comfortable with. But I want you to know there comes a time when you've got to cast aside what is not working anymore. I'm about to preach up here. You got to be ready and sensitive to the moment when what you've been managing is not supposed to be managed by you anymore. Let me give you a quick example before we move on. Samson killed 1,000 Philistines with a jawbone of a donkey. Why is it so critical to understand the principle right here and God's system of thinking and operating? Because when God says it's time to move, it's time to get up and move. When the Lord gets ready, it's time to move. Seasons are going to change. And you manage in this season, and God prepares you for the next season. So when you do understand this biblical principle, it's going to help you to be able to let go of some things and reach forward to the God's best that He already has in store for your life. Hear what I'm telling you. New strategies, new thoughts. There are people right now who a few days ago were not thinking anything about building and making these masks for people. But now they have got a business that's going that they're building masks and all kinds of stuff that's taking place. Out of a crisis is coming new leadership, new ideas, new thinking. I came to tell you right here at this church, we've branched out to do things that we've never done before just like this. Most every other pastor is doing the same thing. You know why? Because the crisis has forced us to move and let go of some of our traditional ways of thinking in order to manage the new anointing that's coming upon the life of people. Hear what I'm telling you. I want to say this and make a declaration to you. It might be on your paper, it might not. Get this in your spirit. The anointing has left the jawbone. He picked that jawbone up and whipped 1,000 Philistines with it. But when the anointing had lifted from that jawbone, listen to what the scripture says. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heap upon heaps, and the jaw of an ass made slain 1,000 men. And it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking, he made this declaration, telling this story, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand and made a declaration of what that location was. You never see Samson picking that jawbone up again, because in that season, he managed it well and slew the enemy. But when the anointing lifts off of it, it's time to move on. Come on, somebody. Traditions are good. We've got traditions, but they're there for a season. What worked 6 months ago for church is not working right now. If you're still expecting everybody to show up in your auditorium, they're not coming. So now you got to figure out, how are we going to manage in this season? Business owner, what am I going to do? I'm getting reports of business owners that are saying, you know what? I've got this crisis going on over here, but it's opened up a whole new line of business over here. Listen, crisis comes generally to destroy our traditions and force us out of the nest to fly. These are some things I don't have on your paper. I'm just going to shoot them to you real quick. Your future in work is that you should think beyond your job. If all you're doing is your job, you're missing your work. They can fire you from your job, but they can't fire you from your work. There is no future in just having a job. The future is in the hands of the one who holds the job, so you can create your own business into your work, what God's called you to do. Write this down. It's on your paper. Management is, by definition, the effective, efficient, correct, and timely use of God-given resources with an expectation of added value and accountability. Now, let me break it down for you right here. Write this down. Number one in this particular definition for you, management is the effectiveness of what you're doing. Effective, it means to use it for the original purpose, the original intent. So if I take a hammer and I try to use it like a screwdriver, it's not going to work. You use it for what the purpose is, otherwise you abuse it. If you don't use it for its original purpose, you abuse that thing. Secondly, the efficient. What does that mean? It means applying the maximum benefit. In other words, whatever that it is, if I'm managing it correctly, I should maximize the use of that. And just because that it may have a little rust on it don't mean that it's been maximized. If you pick up your tools and get them out of the rain, you won't have that rust. Knock the rust off and go ahead and do it. Listen, some of you said, I just need a new pair of shoes. Wear the ones you've got right now. Take out a polishing rag and polish those things and put them back on and keep on wearing them. Management. Management is the effective, efficient, and correct use for the proper purpose. What do you mean by that? He wants us to use it correctly. God, what is your intended purpose for my life? What's your intended purpose for what you gave me? When somebody gives you some blessing in your life, have you asked God, Lord, what do you want me to use this resource for? Are you hearing what I'm saying? And then he says, management is the timely use. In other words, there is a season for everything in your life. Are you managing it and recognizing, is this the time to do this or should I wait? Are you hearing what I'm saying? The maximum timing. Now, let me take you a little deeper right here in this management thought. Management, we're talking about leading in a crisis here now. Management requires self-discipline, knowledge, and wisdom. Now, I am not saying that people don't have knowledge and wisdom outside of the Word of God. But I will tell you this, that knowledge all comes from God. That wisdom all comes from God. So why go to a resource when you can go to the source? Go to the source and get wisdom that comes from God. In fact, he says, when you're getting wisdom, ask for understanding. And all of your getting, get understanding. Lord, I don't know all that's going on, but here's what I was reading just the other day. And this is so important because it's tied to plagues and pestilence in the book of Amos, chapter number 3. He makes this statement, and I've quoted it time and again, but I never saw it in the context that it was written, because in the context that this statement is written, and I'm paraphrasing for you, that he lets his prophets know what's coming ahead. He speaks to his prophets ahead. He speaks to his people ahead. You know what that's tied to? A pestilence and plague. In other words, God said, I'll let you know for things that are up ahead. Well, that's not out of context, because when you reach over in John chapter 16, you find that the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you into all truth and show you things to come. Write this down. Management expects accountability. All managers should expect accountability. One day, we're all going to give an account for the deeds done in the body, the Bible says. Now follow this. When you read this in the Word of God, you find this one gentleman who said, you know what? I built these great big barns and I filled them all up with all of the things that I have done, and I went to school for it, and I built these barns and it's my money and all that kind of stuff. He said, you know what? I got so much right here. I'm going to tear down these barns and I'm going to build bigger ones because of what I am doing. And the Bible says, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. There is a day of accountability coming. Somebody said, well, somebody hurt me, Pastor, and I haven't got over it. Release them, let it go, and move on, because there will come a day of accountability. Look at Luke chapter 16 real quick. I think it's on your paper. Jesus told his disciples that there was a rich man. Watch this. Follow this. This one right here is going to probably knock you right out of your seat. Luke 16, verse 1 and 2. Jesus told his disciples there was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management because you cannot be my manager any longer. I'm going to let you in on a secret. God fires people for mismanagement.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the Word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.